The following podcast is brought to you by Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. Fall golf is always fun when the weather is good. Duh, Hebsy. At Crosswinds, it's even more fun. It's especially great because the leaves are just starting to turn color. The beauty and splendor of the course is even more spectacular. It just makes you want to go out there and whack that little golf ball around the course. Crosswinds not only offers a championship par 72 golf course in immaculate conditions, it features million-dollar views, fantastic customer service, and a place you'll want to come back to time and time again. I'll be out there next week a couple of times. As a matter of fact, folks, I'm actually playing with a couple of celebrities next week. It might be three celebrities. I've got two. We're working on the third celebrity. If you're interested, give me a call. And if you haven't been out to Crosswinds, I highly recommend it. The finest in fall golf. Go to crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time online. And don't forget to tell them that Hebsy sent you. Now, Mike, please, let's start the podcast. Live from Toronto, it's Hebsy on Sports, episode number 252. Hi, sports fans. I'm your host, Mark Hepscher, joined as always by Toronto Mike, looking after things from the mothership. And if you're a regular listener of sports radio and you found out that the station you used to listen to is now playing garbled, unlistenable to syndicated United States programming just for you, you've come to the right place. This is it. This is the best sports podcast. No shit. You don't have to worry about, oh my God, they've changed the personnel. Hepsy's not on anymore. Who is this? Who's that? What time are they going to be on? It's a podcast. Listen whenever the heck you want. Great to have you on the show. I go away for 2 days to Niagara Falls and all hell breaks loose. The Blue Jays, they look great. They look like shit. They look great. They're going to win. They're going to, what the heck? They choked and gagged against the Yankees. There's no other way to put it. They choked. 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position with all that talent. Corey Kluber is not the best pitcher in the world. Come on. They should have kicked the crap out of him. Oh my God. Robbie Ray with his like one bad performance of the year. The one day of the year. He's pitched like 190 innings. He's tired. He's not tired. 190 innings. Come on. Guys like Fergie Jenkins, Bob Gibson, 190 innings. What's that? That's half a season for some of those guys. His arm's tired. Guy got 4 days rest. He's been on 4 days rest his whole life. Home run. My neck is still hurting me from every time watching that ball go out. Like those guys, those weren't like wall scrapers, right, Mike? Those were like bombs.
They were bombs.
Four guy gives up four hits. Well, a single, a couple of doubles. No, four home runs, four blasts, four Titanic shots. Yikes. So that's like putting the nail in the coffin. That's like the Yankees. The Yankees are in the playoffs now, right? They're in.
Well, they've clinched 163rd game. That's clinched.
Yeah, they're in. Come on. And what they did to the Blue Jays, when we looked at the schedule, it said, ooh, Yankees are coming second last series. This is going to be huge, huge. Blue Jays got nobody to blame but themselves and their manager. That's it. Sorry, got all that talent. If I told you at the beginning of the year that you're going to have four 100 bar RBI guys, okay, and you're going to have a Cy Young candidate, an MVP candidate, you're going to say to me, we're in the playoffs. How can we not with that power, murderer's row? Not so much anymore. Talk about that. Believe me, we'll get into that. I know you've got questions. We're interactive on YouTube. And so if you've got a question or a comment, and you want to jump in, like you would do on a sports phone-in show back in the day when they would allow the fans to like actually get on the air. Remember those days?
Of course.
Hi, Mike from Toronto. You're on the air. You know, and Mike would have a couple of like good takes, you know, some interesting observations as a sports fan, as someone who watches and pays attention and is interested. What might happen? What was the situation there? They don't have that on sports radio anymore. Now we're going to talk to the expert, somebody else who was at the game, who was sitting two seats from me down in the press box. What's your opinion of the game?
And it's all the same thing.
Of course,
we'll
that guy's being
this.
Paid by the company or by the team.
Right.
Or he's got some other agenda. He's writing a book about the star player. So he can't, you know, get into too much stuff, right? I got a book coming out with George Springer. I can't say much, right? You don't have to worry about that with me.
And they always say the same thing. These talk in-house experts come in and they all just regurgitate pretty much the same thing. You never get anything new. At least when if I called in on the fan and I wanted to trade Ed Olczyk for Wayne Gretzky straight up, at least that was entertaining.
Here's the lineup for today's show. This journalist, that journalist, this play-by-play broadcaster, this beat reporter, this other person who works for the same company that I do, but in a different division, right? They're in the radio. Oh, sorry, not the radio, the audio division. They're in the audio division. We're the video, television. What's television? Streaming? What's that? It's all the same. Come on, folks, the fan, the fan radio. Remember the glory days of the fan? The stars they had, you couldn't not listen. Certain people, not anymore. They shuffled the deck chairs on the Titanic is what they did. And Rogers, the evil empire, pulls the plug on Wednesday, in the middle of the biggest week on the Toronto sports calendar in recent memory. When was the last time a game, a series as significant as the Jays-Yankees took place around here with any sports team? When was it? The Raptors, when they won the championship in 2018?
Sure.
Or was it 2019, Mike?
2019.
What year is this? Post-pandemic? Anyway, no new programming till Monday on the fan. So, yeah, that's right. You got to come here. What's going on? Scotty Mack, they let him go. Richard Deitch, they let him go. I'm going to think two of the higher paid guys.
Wow.
Okay. Got to cut costs. Make the morning guy out. We'll talk about that new lineup and the future of Toronto sports radio, audio. Sports audio, I guess it would be, Mike. Yeah, the word radio is not going to exist pretty soon. Remember that thing they had, radio?
It's content, and it's got multiple distributions.
Lasted 100 years. Platforms. Right. Lasted exactly 100 years, radio. Wow. Really? Okay, what else? Maple Leafs are so confident that Sheldon Keefe will lead the team into the promised land with the talent that he's got. I mean, look at, they got Vladdy, they got, oh, sorry, that's the other team. They got Matthews, they got Marner, they got Vladdy, they got Bo, they got no goaltending. Anyway, they've extended his contract till 2024. We'll get into that. A few other things, baseball playoff races. How are you, Toronto, Mike?
Hebsy, man, I'm doing really well, man. Mainly, I want to know how you're doing because I know you took some time off.
Some time off from what, though?
From the world. Like, I feel like
I'm retired.
Yeah, but you seem
okay. I do a podcast. I observe. I try to watch as much as possible. The hotel I'm staying in Niagara Falls does not get Rogers. So I find out why. That there's this, there's certain areas that, like, we hate Rogers. Fuck you. We're Bell.
What do you mean they don't get Rogers? Whatever, right? Like, what do you mean? Like, they don't get Sportsnet?
There is no Sportsnet channel on the TV. There's three TSN channels, the NFL Network. There is no Sportsnet outlet.
Even when there's what I would call a massive baseball game going on, and the
you
only
think that you think the hotel cares?
Yeah.
What the deal the hotel has is this is what we have in our system. Okay. Obviously, they don't have any Rogers channels. There's got to be some beef. They either don't get Rogers or they're on a system that they won't pay extra to have the Rogers channel. One Sportsnet. So I'm like, well, I don't want it to Jay's game.
So what did you do?
Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to give my secret away.
You found a stream somewhere and you took it in.
You betcha. Damn right I did.
So how was it though?
On the iPad.
How was Niagara Falls? You have a good time?
Oh, it's great. First of all, it's a ghost town. Oh. It is the weirdest thing to see all these flashing lights and Clifton Hill and there's the falls. And we went into one of the nice restaurants and it was like a ghost town. There was like four people in there. It was really strange. And the one story, the waitress at our restaurant tells the story about how in the middle of the pandemic, the Maid of the Mist runs on both sides, right? There's, you can take one if you're on the American side, under the American Falls, Horseshoe Falls, and you can take one on the Canadian side. And in the middle of the pandemic, the boat on the American side had 60 people in it, like nose to nose. And on the Canadian side, social distancing, 5 people. She said, and that pretty much summed up what the pandemic was about. There you go. America, what a pandemic. Let's go. Maid of the Mist. Come on.
Well, they are outdoors.
But even so, 5 people on the Canadian boat.
That's funny.
That's so, yeah, fun. It was odd, but it was fun because there's just like, there's lots there, but there just weren't any, there isn't anyone. And it's late September anyway, after Labor Day,
right?
They tell us that, you know, it's pretty much packed up. And I lived in Niagara Falls. I worked in radio there many years ago. Mm. And it's true. The winter after the summertime, it's pretty bleak. It can be pretty bleak. Although the golf was beautiful. The sights are beautiful. The falls are really majestic. If you've never been to Niagara Falls, and it's fun. There's tons to do. There's just not a lot of people there.
Are you going to give us a clue as to who are these celebrities you're golfing with? You teased it in the intro, but...
Well, I can't because it's not fully confirmed. And as you know, with celebrities, something can always come up at the last minute. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I got a show to do, a recording session, da-da-da-da. I got called into that, all that shit. So I don't even want to do it because I'm dealing with real divas, prima donnas. That, yeah. You know, and like I said, it could, like, listen, and Hebsy was great. Like, golf would, wow, be terrific, but there's a 10% chance of rain. And I think I'm hearing my, okay, agent's going to call me. I need to go in and loop something or something.
What level of celebrity are we talking about here?
Oh, extremely high. You would recognize them.
But Canadian famous or globally?
Just take
known?
It easy. Yeah, Canadian famous. Okay. What do you mean by that? I can't. I don't live in the States, so I can't tell you like how famous they are in the whole okay. United States.
Okay. I always ask because, like, there's Ron McLean, right? And Ron McLean is Canada famous. But I don't think he's not famous outside of this country, really, Ron McLean. But can, but also,
let me put it this way,
yeah,
to you.
Yeah.
On a local level, on a Toronto level, on an Ontario level, I would think, you know, for sure two of the biggest. And I'm hoping for the third, like I haven't heard back.
Wow.
That's the way that person operates. If this is the way the person operates, you send them a message, you don't hear anything. You send them another message. Hey, buddy, I sent you a message. You don't even say to them that you sent them the first message. Because yeah. You can just imagine that their phone's going off all the time.
Okay, you're golfing
you don't hear
with
from them again,
Rick
Mercer. But you know.
Rick Mercer.
You know from the past that at some point this person will get back in touch. And it'll be kind of like, hey, buddy, sorry, man. But like we were on a cruise or we had a concert tour or we, you know, whatever. Something to shoot.
Are you golfing with that John Moorcroft who's got his jersey on the Sportsnet broadcast?
What the hell was that? Did you not want to just go and punch that guy through the screen?
No, but it really was tough to Google that.
Had his arms up he had to hold his arms up the whole time to hold up the jersey in front of him.
And he did it the entire game. He was still doing it in the ninth inning. So kind of impressive, but you know, whatever. I don't care.
Not impressive.
Well, we're all talking about it. Like, if you were looking to get like a
shot of
fame.
Because we wanted to kill the guy. Not that we think, what a great guy. This guy, Moorcroft, man.
But it was
here's what he did.
Top, like, part. It wasn't that obtrusive. Like, it didn't bother me.
Excuse
it was kind
me?
Of in the very top.
It absolutely was.
Was it? Okay.
Absolutely was. At first, I thought it was someone sitting backwards, sitting with their back to the camera.
Okay.
So that they could get there. Right. And then I realized he was holding up a jersey.
Right. Yeah. Holding up a jersey. He's just a guy from Brantford, like just a guy who did that
you
before.
You went and found out about this guy?
Yeah, like I well,
oh my God,
I
found, you're a sick individual.
Somebody found out about it and tipped me off, but it's just a guy.
Oh,
he's
God.
Done it
I had
before.
Nothing else to talk about.
He's just a guy who wanted to be like famous for a moment.
Well, guess what? Obnoxious is the word.
So he's not the guy you're golfing with. It's not him.
Please.
Okay. I feel like we should just talk about everything except the Jays and the Fan 590 stuff and then, you know, just the piss people.
Nothing else to talk about in my mind. So two big things to talk about. Everything else is not as important.
All right, let's get into the Jays.
I give a shit that Tom Brady is going back. Tom, what was it like with Bill Belichick? This whole Tom Brady's going back to play against Bill Belichick. Come on. Give me a break.
Later, when we do the Fan 590 segment, I'm going to ask you about a different Brady, not Tom Brady, but I'll save that for the
you
know, Fan 590
all the time.
Segment. It's called
You did this with the other guy on the red carpet show. You tease something and say later, and then you know later you're going to have to interrupt me from something else. Oh, don't,
like
let's not forget
trap,
about
Pepsi.
The thing we talked about 45 minutes ago. Let's get into this, all right? Because I got some stuff to get off my chest. And since there is no morning radio show on Toronto audio stations, this is all you've got. You got me. So the Blue Jays now are sitting going, all right, we got three games left against Baltimore. Well, that should be no problem. Should be able to sweep those motherfuckers, right? Easiest team and worst team in baseball. Told you, nothing easy. All these people, oh, let's look at the schedule. Oh, the Jays are playing 17 teams that have a 500-plus record. And they're playing crummy teams like Baltimore. Well, that's a win. Remember everyone coming up with their scenario? Well, there's two out of three. There's three out of two. There's one from five in a row. There's a sweep. Come on. got to play one game at a time, one pitch at a time, one inning at a time. So we got to win three in a row. We got to start with the first, then the second, then the third. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, but let's get ahead of ourselves, huh? And we got to both hope that Seattle and Boston lose at least one of their final three games. I'm not going to get into any other scenario. Jays have to sweep. Hope Boston and Seattle lose at least one of the final three. And then we're in a three-way playoff for one spot. Okay? We're going to be playing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to need like a seven-man rotation. Or Robbie Ray, we're going to need him to work on less rest. All that stuff. So there is hope, but let's be realistic. Probably not going to happen. They're probably not going to make the playoffs. Because even if they do that, they still got to get to game 163, a playoff, and then probably another playoff just to get into the playoff, the one game wild card. So on a night where they just had to win, they had to win. And the fans, after the biggest night in the team's recent history, a victory, pulling them that much closer to the fading Red Sox, and of course, ignoring the surging Mariners over their shoulder. Where did Seattle come from? These guys from out west. What we got to worry about Seattle now? The Blue Jays had to win this game. What did they do? They laid a huge egg, okay? Extra large. Cy Young candidate Robbie Ray with the tight pants. Gives up four hits, four home runs. Four hits, four home runs. At the time, the people sitting in front of me, I say, have you ever seen this before? A team's got four, their only four hits are all home runs?
Right.
That's crazy. And so he didn't have his good slider. So now a great pitcher finds a way when they don't have their best stuff to grind it out. And he did. He gave up that first inning home run to Judge, that bomb, and he retired like 14 in a row, looking pretty good. Even without the slider, it worked occasionally for him. And he got some good defense, and he got some, you know, he wasn't striking out guys like he normally was, but he was gutting it out. And we got a 2-1 lead after five. It's good, man. It's okay. And the crowd is just sort of now getting into it. The beer is taking effect. I'm watching the people around me, two-fisted drinkers, right? And how often they're going back for more beer and how much beer the beer vendor is selling and how long the lineups are for beer. These lineups are so long that they actually spread right to where the entrances are to go down to the seats. And so people can't walk by. You have to break through the lines in like the fifth inning. So people are getting all oiled up, man. We're leading 2-1. It's the Yankees. Let's go. People are getting aggressive. The guy next to me is yelling with his hoarse voice, driving everybody crazy. We're going to win. But no, because that's sixth inning, man. I'm standing in line waiting for pizza.
Oh,
and there's a 2-second delay. The monitors you're watching while you're in line for the food and the beer,
right?
And what's actually going on in the stadium, you know, 50 feet from you.
Right.
And so we're watching, we're in line, and we see Rizzo. And just as the pitch is being delivered, we hear, oh, right?
Right.
So now we know before we even see Rizzo hit the ball, it's not good, right? And then, so before the ball even leaves the park on the monitors that we're watching, we know it's a home run. It's a tie game. And everyone's like, ah, shit. And we were just high-fiving each other earlier because in the fifth, the Jays took the lead.
Right.
So I have to go through this while I'm waiting for pizza, which was another story. Anyway, Jays lose 6-2, an absolute gut punch to the nearly 30,000 fans in attendance. Yeah, I was there. I bought my tickets a few months ago in anticipation of a tremendous battle. But the Jays went 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position, and the Yankees made all six of their hits count. Five of them were home runs. Six hits on the night, five of them home runs.
Whew.
You can't have that, folks. You want to be a championship team, you're at home. You got your best pitcher going. You got that lineup. You're healthy. I mean, I know Lourdes had a couple stitches in his hand, but come on, man. You go 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. And they didn't. And what happened was, once in that sixth inning, the Yankees took the lead, the crowd was taken right out of the game. All those people, they were all oiled up, all getting ready. Nothing. And a couple times, you know, people got up and, let's go, come on, to try to urge them on. But you get those dimwits that try to start the wave when the Jays are in the field. They start the chants, let's go Blue Jays, when the Jays are in the field. So here, professional tip here. You do it when your team is at bat. Okay? That's what you do. This isn't football where you're urging the defense on, stop that, you know, on third down or fourth down or whatever. This is different. So you do that to urge the team that's at the plate so that they're going to hit the ball hard and bring your team back, not when they're standing in the field, okay? And every time there's two strikes on the opposing batter, you don't have to stand up to cheer to hope for the strikeout. You don't need to do that, okay? Just a little word to the guy in front of me who, I'm telling you, kept doing it, and everybody, we're all like looking at this guy. Who's going to be the first to throw something at this guy?
Yeah, that's for the final out of the game. Like, that's the final, right. That's what you do for the out of the game. You stand up to finish the game.
Yeah. There has to be, as you enter Rogers Center, there has to be people like me and you, Mike, to hand out pamphlets or do demonstrations. What to do, what not to do. Now, you can't stop people from doing the wave. I get that. It's very 1989 or 81 or whatever.
Right.
But it has to be done at the right time. And if it is, it can have a major effect on these poor guys who've been playing at home in Dunedin before hostile crowds and playing in Buffalo. You're in Toronto now. You have 30,000 people. You got to get the fans into the game. Find a way to do it. But they didn't. And I tell you this right now, everybody was saying once Judge hit the go-ahead home run and then Stanton was walked because Ray did not want to pitch to Giancarlo Stanton after giving up back-to-back home runs, right? So he walks him right then and there. Mm-hmm. Charles Montoyo should have sauntered his way out of the dugout and gone to the bullpen because everyone knew that was pretty much it for Robbie Ray. Everyone knew, when's Charlie going to bring him out? In other words, is Robbie Ray at 60% better than Adam Simber or whoever was up in the bullpen? Was anyone up in the bullpen? It's another thing you can't tell sometimes when you're at the game. You're looking through that little screen. Do I see a guy pitching? I'm not sure. So I wasn't sure if anyone was up, but man, oh man. And then when Gleyber Torres came up and hit that two-run home run, everyone was like, what the fuck was Charlie doing? Why didn't he take him out of the game?
Can I ask a question?
Not that it would have made a difference.
Is there an alternate universe where he does make that pitching change and then the reliever comes in, gives up the two-run homer, and we're right now like bitching about Montoyo of making course. That? So I feel like I don't feel that was the horrific call I'm hearing from some of the pundits.
Well, that's a natural response from fans. Natural response is, all right, 3-2, it's still manageable. Now you walk a guy. See, to me, it wasn't after the Judge home run. It was after the walk to Stanton. He looked scared. And now you're going, okay, he doesn't have his good stuff. He's only got four strikeouts or whatever. He doesn't have his good stuff. He just gave up back-to-back homers, but I mean, they hit the ball hard. I mean, that pitch, those were both fastballs, like 94, 95, heart of the plate. So he's missing his spots because he can't get his slider to work for him. And these guys are sitting on the fastball. He knows it when he's pitching to Stanton. Stanton knows it. And now Gleyber Torres on deck is like, oh, leave him in for me. Please leave him in. I'm a right-handed batter. He's a lefty. He doesn't have the slider working. Please leave him in. Please.
Right.
And Charlie left him in.
This is a classic case of hindsight being 20/20, where it's so effortless mm-hmm. to look back and say, oh, that's mm-hmm. the moment he should have made the change because look what happened. But in the moment, I didn't have that outrage of like, why are you leaving him in?
No, the outrage was more, why can't the Jays score more runs?
Right.
How could they not have knocked Corey Kluber out of the box? How did he last 4 1/3 the way he pitches, for Christ's sakes? But what Corey Kluber did, and a lot of the booing, him throwing back to first base, is he upsets the timing of the hitters. And I'm watching Vladdy, and the people who were sitting in front of me know this. I think they might have known it was me. But anyway, they knew this. And I said, you watch what Kluber does to Vladdy here. He's going to make, and Teoscar Hernandez, he's going to make them so uncomfortable at the plate. He's going to step off. He's going to want the signs again. He's going to throw back. He's going to get their timing off so that any pitch they see, they're going to want to hit. And he did exactly that. They went 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. The Jays hitters did not look as confident at the plate as the Yankee hitters did. And Corey Kluber had a lot to do with that early on. They should have knocked him out in the first. Like, they got a runoff, and they should have knocked him out by the fourth inning. But, man, and I'm watching him. This guy's a veteran. He does not throw hard. I think he hit 90 maybe once or twice on the gun. He throws junk, sliders, and changes. And players like Vladdy and Teoscar, and maybe to a lesser extent Bo, but those two, they feel as if they have to do something, and they expand their strike zone, and they're impatient, and Kluber knows it, and the Yankees know it, and Aaron Boone knows it. He studied these hitters. They lost a few games to the Jays this year. They're looking and saying, all right, this is how we stop Vladdy. And they were very effective.
There you go.
I tell you this right now. If Aaron Boone managed the Blue Jays, the Jays would be in a playoff position by now. They would. But the talent that Montoyo has at his disposal, that lineup, that batting lineup alone, Romano at one end, there's a good, pretty good closer. Robbie Ray, Ryu, worth all that money, free agent pitcher. Manoah, who came out of nowhere
right
to pitch beautifully. They went and got Berrios. You got no excuses. Not now. You did when Springer was hurt. You got no excuses.
Hebsy, quick analysis from your co-host here, and this is not Toronto Mike on Sports. This is Hebsy on Sports. But in my opinion, the fact that we... When did we come back to the Dome? Is that mid-August? I'm trying to remember now, but it's really, like, considering the home games were in Dunedin and then Buffalo and what we dealt
with...
Come
on, you're not going to play this.
Yeah, I am of the opinion that had we played all our home games at the Dome in front of 30,000 people or less, depending on the night, that we're in the playoffs right now.
I don't want to hear it. That's bullshit, and you know it. It's got nothing to do with it.
Well, I don't know it, or I wouldn't have said it.
No, it's got nothing to do with it. Okay, because when the team was in a playoff spot, I didn't hear anyone going, oh, my God, they made a playoff spot, even by having three different homes. This whole thing with look, the ball players travel. They're used to traveling. When you play 162 games, you got to go to a bunch of different cities. I'm sure it's difficult. Right? I'm sure it is. But they didn't have any COVID issues, as far as I know. They had a couple little ones. Okay, other teams did have COVID issues. So you get what you get. And if you were in a playoff position a week and a half ago, okay, having overcome playing in Dunedin and playing in Buffalo, you can't use that as an excuse now if you don't make the playoffs. You got young guys, healthy guys. All they had to do was play baseball, okay? Didn't matter where they're staying or where they're traveling. Many of them don't bring their families anyway, even if they're up here in Toronto. They might bring them up for the summer if they have little kids. So don't give me that. Most of them, the families are back home anyway.
What about
those
games? They
got this far with great talent. They're professionals. They've got the best nutrition. They travel first class, stay in first class places. None of them are going, oh, I had to live in the basement and my back was hurting and that's why I couldn't hit the ball.
Okay.
So I don't want to hear that excuse.
You've introduced the alternate universes because you've got Boone coaching this team. Great name, by the way. Boone's coaching this team and now we've clinched a playoff spot by now. And meanwhile, I'm just suggesting that if all the home games this season were played at the Dome in front of Blue Jays fans, I'm suggesting we would have clinched a playoff spot by now.
If Springer wasn't hurt, we would have clinched it a long time ago. And if this didn't happen and that didn't happen,
these are the multiverses, exactly.
And if the Yankees wouldn't have had 17 COVID scares where half their roster was off for a while and they were blowing games and back and forth. Oh, and of course, Boston. Right. What about Boston? And Seattle. I mean, you listen.
Sure.
Excuses are like, you know what? Everyone's got one.
That's right. Okay. Well said.
Yeah, 1.325 million viewers watched Wednesday night's game on Sportsnet.
I thought it would be 1.325
bigger. 1.325 million. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
But that's nothing compared to when the Jays were in the playoffs back in 2015, 2016. Not even close.
No, I'm assuming like the bat flip game might have been like 5 million or something like that.
Yeah. And I suspect Thursday night's numbers will be bigger. I didn't watch it, obviously. I was at the game. Did run into Joe Siddle and Jamie Campbell.
How are they doing? They're both good guys.
Doing good.
Yeah, they're both like us in real life, at least in the conversations I've had of them. They're both sweethearts.
Oh, super nice guys. Down to earth guys. And listen, not an easy job also to sit and watch all those games and have to be, you know, brutally honest sometimes. How do you take a team with all this talent? How does this team not make the playoffs? And will they ever have a team with this much talent again? Because Robbie Ray's not going to be with them next year. Simeon's not going to be with them. How do you replace those two guys? So this might have been it. This might have been the year. They went all in. Look at that starting staff. I mean, come on.
The window's still open, Hebsy. I mean, the core of this team is very young.
No.
Like, literally still climbing. I mean.
Nope.
Really?
No. You need at least three players to develop the way Alek Manoah did. Or you're going to go out and spend more money on free agents.
Do the Jays change the pitcher in the offseason? I mean, pitcher. Why did I say that? Do the Jays change the manager in the offseason?
If they don't make the playoffs, they have to change the manager. They can't go into next season with Charlie Montoyo. He's a good teacher. He's a good developer of talent. He's a good guy. Everybody likes him. They love him playing the congas. Okay, by the way, it's not bongos, for fuck's sakes, folks. Come on. If you don't know the difference between bongos and congas,
yeah,
what are we talking about here?
Come on. Yeah, educate yourself.
Not really. But anyway, and he's a nice fella. Everyone likes him, and he's great in the clubhouse, and he respects people. But I told you for a long time there, you know, when he kept George Springer in the leadoff spot, mm-hmm. he'll come out of it. And he did come out of it. Beautifully came out of it. But while he was in that 4-for-44 slump, they lost ball games that I think they could have won had Charlie had the lineup differently. That's all I'm going to say, is that Vladdy had many chances for RBIs. He would have had more chances for RBIs to drive in some runs when he was hot if Springer could have gotten on base, but Springer was not. Mm. He wasn't. And he basically said, you're not keeping me out of the lineup. And he wasn't 100%. And he made a lot of outs that I think another player who was healthy may not have made as many outs. Let's put it that way. 4-for-44 for a leadoff hitter in the midst of a huge surge by your team. You know, that was the manager. He could have said, I'm dropping you down in the order, you know, but he didn't want to hurt George's feelings. And again, it took George quite a while to come back, quite a while. And I don't think playing every day and trying to swing for the fences and screwing up his swing and timing, knowing that he was hurt, I don't think it helped the team. But anyway, that's Charlie's call.
Quick note on the broadcast. We had speculated about this last week on Hebsy on Sports, but it ended up being, as we thought, in person. You had Pat Tabler at the Dome calling it in the same booth as Dan Shulman.
Of course.
So I was curious your thoughts. Is Buck Martinez back with this team next year?
If he doesn't get vaccinated, he's not going to come back?
Interesting. How could he? Interesting.
How could you do that? And the other thing is, if Buck was part of your plans, then Buck would have been doing this final series against the Yankees. Would you find it odd that you listen to Buck all year long? For the most part, he was on almost all the time on the TV broadcast. And now the most important series, the final series, he's not there.
It's quite the story that almost nobody will touch.
Right. But having said that, if you think that I have inside information as to the next bloodletting that's going to take place at Rogers Media, come on. After what they did at the fan the other day, I have no idea. For all I know, Chris Cuthbert is going to be calling Jays games next year with Jim Houston and RJ Broadhead. I honest to God, have no idea at all. I thought when the fan made their announcements, it was going to be all TV guys. It's going to be, as long as you're doing TV, just step over there and do radio or audio, record the show. It doesn't matter when it airs. It doesn't air because there's not going to be anything called radio anymore, which is the feeling I get. It's like, oh, you listen anytime.
Well, Merrick got a show. But is this? I guess my question as your co-host is, are we diving into this now or do you want to wrap up Major League Baseball before we...
I'll wrap up Major League Baseball. Ready? Here we go. Jays get Baltimore at home. 3 games. Red Sox are taking on the Washington Nationals in D.C. Seattle is taking on the Angels in Seattle. Jays have to win all 3. I have to hope that Boston and Seattle lose at least one against those opponents, okay? They must be going nuts up there in Seattle. They haven't made the playoffs in 20 years. Wow. And here, thundering down the stretch, they come, the Mariners, out of nowhere. Remember we were worried about Oakland for a little while?
Yep.
And then Seattle took on Oakland a few times and just kicked the shit out of them. It was great. Had you told me a couple of weeks ago that the Mariners would make the postseason and the Jays would not, then I would have laughed you right out of the room. So the Red Sox lost 2 out of 3 to the Orioles. That's the funny part, is that you look at the schedule and go, oh, beautiful.
Right.
We go Baltimore. Woo-hoo, fabulous. So you never know. Okay, so here's the deal with the rest of baseball. The Astros clinched the division. Okay? So Dusty Baker, now, Mike, has won a divisional championship with five different teams.
Wow.
Five different teams. He just won it with the Astros. He did the Giants, Cubs, Reds, and Nationals.
Wow.
So you got Houston, the White Sox, and Tampa, all division winners, all waiting to see what happens in the wild card race after winning their divisions. Mm-hmm. In the National League, the Braves clinched last night, so they're going to play the Brewers.
Just on that note, though, the double A, I believe that's like a quite the stretch he has of like postseason appearances for Alex Anthopoulos teams. Right? Yeah,
if you pay attention to number of postseason appearances by Generals managers.
Well, we do when they're Canadian, I think, maybe. Exactly. So that's a number of years, though. I think 2014 is the last time he missed the playoffs.
The question is, had Alex Anthopoulos been allowed to do what he does in Atlanta when he was with Toronto, where would the Jays be now? And we'll never know.
Right. And we like our team, Barry.
We do. By the way, the Braves have won 21 division titles since moving from Milwaukee in 1966.
But only one World Series.
But only one World Series. One. The Dodgers and Giants still have some work to do. San Fran leads LA by two games atop the West. Looks like it'll be the Dodgers hosting St. Louis in the wild card game. The Giants, I think, are going to win the West, and they're going to host the winner of that wild card game. And the other series has the Brewers playing against the Braves. So anything can happen in baseball, and you never know.
You never know, and you never know what happens in Toronto sports media, which we're about to jump into. But one last question from YouTube. There's somebody who wants your prediction. Who will manage the Blue Jays tomorrow next season?
Who will be the Blue Jays manager next season? Buck Martinez.
Surprise.
I don't know. Who's out there? I mean, Tony La Russa did a pretty good job with the White Sox, you know, at the age of 94. So Casey Stengel managed for many, many years. A lot of managers, good managers, have all that baseball. See, the older you are, the more baseball you've seen, the more situations you've seen,
right,
the more experience you can rely on. You let your, you know, other coaches
what
worry
about Cito?
Chemistry, maybe.
Would Cito come back?
No. That's a good question. You know, choosing the right manager is very difficult. I think you have to look at the roster and say who fits in well. And at the same time, if you have guys, like people were saying, well, the Jays are too loosey-goosey. They have too much fun. They got the home run jacket. They're not intense. And when you watch them in a game last night, you kind of go, there might be something to that.
George was dancing. My wife loved it, actually, Springer dancing. Like, it kind of brought her into the game. That's the stuff the casual fans get drawn in by, that stuff.
Exactly. And the bat flips and all that stuff, the emotion. So you like the team. You enjoy watching them play.
Right.
But the bottom line is, can they win?
Right.
Can they win the big games? And Vladdy's 22 and Bo's 23. And, you know, these guys are still young. Mm-hmm. And this is their, even though they had a taste last year and made the quote unquote playoffs,
the play in or whatever that is,
season, this is 2 years in a row now that they've, you know, been in the thick of it.
Right. Right. Last thing from, because we're getting into the Fan 590 here, but KM had a funny comment. He thinks Buck Martinez will coach this team via Zoom. Okay. So let's get into this, my friend. Let me set you up here. I guess you were unplugged during this period, but in fact, just set the table. I had Greg Brady over for a 2-hour Real Talk deep dive, which we'll touch on again in more detail in a bit here.
On your podcast.
On my podcast. Toronto Mike's. I should have mentioned that.
Available where fine podcasts.
Listen to Greg Brady on Toronto Mike, because he talks very openly about basically a toxic work environment that he experienced at the Fan 590. And he's very open and honest about this. And he told me it was very therapeutic to talk about it. So listen to Greg Brady. But after I record of Greg, like, we take our photo, I say goodbye, he drives back to Ajax. And then I just check Twitter because I have Lowest of the Low coming soon to my backyard. And I can't believe I said that sentence, by the way. I can't believe I said that sentence, but that's true. And I check Twitter and it's like, oh, they blew up the Fan 590 lineup because we were talking about Scott MacArthur and all these things about, you know, Ashley Docking, blah, blah, blah. And she's long gone, of course. But please, Hebsy, what do you think of these changes made to the Fan 590 lineup? Talk to me, brother.
All that setup and that's your question?
Well, I was saying that
whole big setup.
People are sick
question.
Of my
what
voice. They want to hear your voice. I should shut up.
I don't know. I thought it was a systematic liquidation of the staff there, that even the people that are still there must just be walking on eggshells, just, you know, shell shocked. I just don't see the people that were promoted to having shows dancing around going, woohoo, got my own show, baby, on the fan. Because you're stepping over dead bodies. So if there was a toxic work environment there before at Rogers, and I'm going to try to envision, because I've been in the building, right? So I know where the studio, those studios are there, the studios are there, the radio studios there. People would pass each other there from this division to that division. There's 680 News is over there. Okay, so this whole, these are people, real live people that had worked many years, some of them many, many years there, put down roots there. And man, it's like, and how did they find out? Did they find out via Twitter on a Wednesday? That's it? Like a Wednesday? That's weird, because if you're going to do it, you do it on a Friday, and then Monday, boom, you start your new, here's the new rebrand, here we go, ba-boom. But on a Wednesday. And then, okay, I'm thinking, all right, Thursday morning should be interesting. A Thursday morning, all right, welcome to CBS Radio. And, you know, even Jim Rome was like, hey, we're in Canada now because they've blown out all, I think in Calgary, they've blown out all the personalities. And radio doesn't exist up there anymore when it comes to sports talk. It's going to be audio enhanced, multi-platform audiologists. I don't know. It's nuts. So here's what I got from it. I'm playing golf. My phone starts to blow up.
I bet.
Okay. Did you hear what happened at the fan? No, I didn't hear what happened at the fan. I'm fucking working on it, trying to get out of the bunker here. What the hell's going on?
Right.
I go away for like a day and a half.
I know.
And if I didn't tell you before, folks, about sports talk radio being dead, I think I did a few times when I started doing this podcast, and even before that, when I was in the terrestrial business, you know, TSN radio came along and said, we can't let the fan have all the fun. And the fan, TSN, fly on the wall. We don't have to worry about them. And they got too big for their britches, Rogers, and they said, you know, we're losing money here. We're, you know, things are changing. And let's face it, you know, Rogers, they're not idiots in that response. When it comes to making money, they know how to make money, and they know how to save money, and they know how to cut costs. It's a business. You've got stockholders to worry about. So it's like, that guy makes too much money. That person 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 makes too much money. Wait, we got to be diverse. Hire a woman. Hire a person of color. Hire someone that's disabled. Hire a disabled lesbian, you know, person of color. Beautiful. Fill that gap. Get a woman on the morning show. Get a woman there. Get more blacks. Get more. And suddenly it wasn't about putting the best lineup together of broadcasters and programming. It was about checking boxes, doing the right thing corporately, your mission statement, you know, a diverse community that we have here. And what you've done is you've neglected your core audience. And here, what you've done now is you've made everybody hate you even more. And most especially the people that work for you or worked for you, hate you. Even these people that got new jobs, you think they're going, oh, this is the best place. What a great place to work. I know I'll be sitting next to my colleagues for at least 6 or 8 weeks before they get fired and the numbers aren't good, or some other bean counter comes along and says, we can't do that. So it's nuts. Absolutely nuts. So Scotty Mac is out in the mornings. I knew that was going to happen because you can only put Scotty Mac with so many people on a morning show before you say, we can't do that.
Hebsy, man, if I may, and I'll jump in a little bit. Please don't be disgruntled by that. But I'm very interested in this topic. You mentioned this whole diversity checkbox thing. Meanwhile, a couple of recent morning show dismissals is a woman named Ashley Docking and a proud gay man named Scott MacArthur. So how does that speak to what you're, you know, the whole checkbox thing, right?
Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time, didn't it?
Sure. Rogers? But I thought Scotty Mac, who I think is a talented broadcaster. Actually, I talked to Greg Brady about this. Again, we didn't know about the news and we recorded the other day. But I thought he'd be reassigned, like back to, I don't know, Jay's Talk or something. You know, I didn't think they'd dismiss
Scott
MacArthur.
It's a hard thing to do. Your morning personality usually is the highest paid on the station. Certainly one of the highest paid. Should be the highest paid.
Should be.
In the old standard.
Right.
But now, it's different. Totally different. And now, listen, Jamie Campbell did play-by-play for the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. Jamie was, you know, for lack of a better word, demoted from that top spot to studio host, mm-hmm. which he's handled very well for a number of years. Mm-hmm. Rob Falls before him did play-by-play of the Blue Jays.
Right.
Was, as you say, reassigned. Mm-hmm. Still working for the network. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's, but it's hard when you reach a certain status to be put back into, you know, another spot. Money has a lot to do with it. Mike Richards went from doing morning radio to afternoon, early afternoons. That's a demotion.
It happened to Brady when they brought in Blundell.
That's right. And so how do you, like, you know, if you wanted to keep Scotty Mack, you would have to pair him, team him with other people. And he's already been paired with Zygomanis. Zygomanis had already announced that he was leaving last week.
Right.
So the speculation was, all right, who's going to join Scotty Mack on the morning show? Or mm-hmm. is he going to be on the morning show? He's not. The other one was Richard Deitch, who they made a big deal about, you know, when McCown was there, of hiring this guy, who I thought added a tremendous element to that afternoon drive show. He's very, very good. Asks good questions. Has a terrific media podcast, has a, you know, but he makes, I think, pretty good dough. And so Scotty Mack, Richard Deitch, we're saving money.
So are we sure that, because we know they're not on the lineup because they've, you know, the PR, the press release came out from Rogers Media with the lineup. Are they gone from the Sportsnet suite?
Is that what well, I think so. I think what has to happen is that their contract has to end and there would be a no-compete. Huh. Perhaps that would be waived. I don't know. It's kind of hard to get another job.
Because neither person has said anything. Like, I've been watching their Twitter feeds and neither has commented on
that. And they really can't. There's likely an NDA and there's something to, you know, where it's just a better idea to not say anything.
Lest we forget all these, like Alex Wong and these people who would give us the, like, the sports updates. I guess they got rid of the sports updates.
Rob Wong, you mean, right?
What did I say?
Alex Wong.
Okay, Rob Wrong. My apologies. I mixed him up with Alex Sixero, who moved.
He was there for 13 years.
Right, and there were other gentlemen that names you know because they did sports updates who were let go that day, and they all did.
There will be no more sports updates on the station. Okay, so the morning show now is J.D. Bunkus, who was with Ben Ennis, along with Blake Murphy, who was a Raptors reporter for The Athletic. Don't believe I've heard him, and if I have, wasn't distinct enough for me to go, oh, that's
you never heard his episode of Toronto Mic'd when he visited my backyard last summer?
No.
Oh, mate, you got to do that.
Yeah. Line forms to the right. I have so many of your podcasts I have to listen to. I had to go away for a day and a half. I still haven't caught up. You do fucking five of them in 1 week. Okay. And so they, on the morning show, they went, well, we got to add a woman. We have to have a woman. Why do you have to have a woman? Because we have to have a woman. Why? Why do you have to have a woman? Because we have to. Okay, is there somebody really, really good that we've got to get in on the morning show there? And there's a lady named Eilish Forfar, former hockey player.
Okay.
In the National Women's Hockey League. And so it's going to be Eilish Forfar, Blake Murphy, and J.D. Bunkus. Kind of rolls off the tongue. That's your morning show. So I hope they've developed some chemistry. I hope, like I said on my last podcast, that when they decided that these three were going to be the morning show, that they took the three of them, sent them away somewhere or put them in a room and said, all right, figure it out. And you better have some fucking chemistry when you come out. Because the last thing we can afford to do is debut you on Monday morning and have people go, what the fuck is this? You'd better be good. People don't have a lot of patience. And remember, there's other places you can go for morning radio for now. I don't know for how much longer.
10:50.
So that's the morning show. Now that show is going to, they're going to turn it into a podcast. Of course, the podcast is going to be available within like minutes of it being done live. And then you can listen to them whenever the hell you want. That's the whole idea with this. You can listen to the morning show in the afternoons. You can listen to the afternoon show in the mornings. It doesn't matter. They don't think it matters. You can listen anytime. That's going to be the whole idea of it. So the afternoon drive show is going to be Ben Ennis and Stephen Brunt, but only during hockey and basketball season. This is another quirk with this schedule. There's nobody's working full time, except for this morning show, it looks like.
Right.
And one of the afternoon shows, not the Jeff Merrick show, because it's only going to be during the NHL season. Not the Raptors show with William Liu and Alex Wong. That will only be during basketball season. Not Blair and Barker. That's only during baseball season. Do you understand where I'm going with this, Mike?
It sounds like this is so Stephen Brunt can go to Newfoundland.
This is so that, yeah. See, what happens is the model for success has been overdrive, right? Basically, two hockey guys and a well-versed all-round sportscaster, right. Ryan Hayes,
right?
Basically taking the summer off, saying that summer radio ratings don't mean shit. And when we come back in September, we're going to be great. And they are. All right? They're really good. And now the fan is like, all right, let's see. We got to find a way to stop the bleeding when it comes to radio. We got to make money here if we're going to pay these salaries. We are going to introduce a multi-platform audio content, listen when you want, a la carte, podcast every hour. I'm sure that these people will all be doing more jobs than they had done before in the one medium. So whoever's on radio, on The Fan, is going to be doing more than just radio. Trust me. We're going to squeeze as much work as we can out of you, as much talent as possible, until we've wrung you dry, and then we're going to kick you out in a few years because things are going to change again. Sorry to say that, but like I say, and I haven't listened to any of the shows, and I will reserve judgment, of course, until I listen. I'm not going to jump the gun and go, that's going to be shit. That's going to be shit. Who are they? I'm assuming, hopefully, that Greg Sansone and his gang there at Rogers took many steps before they came to these decisions, that they know that the chemistry is going to be great and that people are going to flock to listening to these shows. They're going to go, yep, these people are going to be great. It's going to be awesome. So the Nick Kiprios show. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, wait, Afternoon Drive is Ben Ennis and Stephen Brunt only during hockey and basketball season.
Right.
Ennis will also host Jay's Talk during baseball season with Barker and Blair. So Ennis is going to be basically working a split shift. Hey, Ben, great having you on that 1-4 or 9-11 show or whatever. But now you're going to do Jay's Talk with Barker and Blair during baseball season. And then when it's not baseball season, you're going to be doing the Afternoon Drive show with Stephen Brunt. Got it? That's like a split shift, baby. It's a lot of hours. A lot of hours on air, but also you're going from doing an on-air shift at around noon, from noon to 1 or noon to 2, and then you're going on again at 5 o'clock? Okay. And by the way, Sam McKee is going to produce that show, the Nick Kiprios show, from 3 to 5 every day with Justin Bourne, Kiprios and Bourne. Oh, wait, only during the hockey season. Because nobody wants to hear Kiprios and Bourne when it's not hockey season?
Right.
Okay. So Sam McKee is going to produce that show. He's also going to produce the Leafs pre- and post-game show with Gord Stellick and Brent Gunning. That's a lot of work, man. So the feeling I get is they've gone, all right, here's your new job. You're making the same money. You're doing this much more work. How do I know this? Went through it years ago. When I was at CHCH-TV and I was doing a show called Square Off every day, live show every day.
Right.
They came to me and said, well, we'd like to resurrect the show Sportsline. You and Bubba O'Neill. Sportsline 2.0. Yeah, beautiful. Great idea. Yeah, we'll run it at 5 o'clock every day. Right? And we'll do it sort of like PTI style, you know, part of the interruption with the little menu down the side and two guys and they're talking back and forth and arguing and discussing sports. Let's do that. Beautiful. I said, fantastic. How much more money? Oh, nothing. As long as you're here for 8 hours a day, we're just giving you another show to do. No raise. I went, what? How do you expect me to do a good job on both shows? All right? You're stretching me kind of thin. You're not going to pay me any more money. Nope, it's the way it is. Take it or leave it. So I went, oh, this is the way it is now in broadcasting. You know, remember it used to be, you know, the morning show was 3.5 hours. Now it's like the morning shows are like from 5 a.m. till 10 a.m. And the midday show is from 10 till 3. And so they're now 5-hour shifts. And there's people that have 6-hour shifts. Let's grind as much as we can out of them. You know, I have some friends of mine that work in the business and they work in late night television. Look, they're there till 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Okay. What kind of life is that? And by the way, you're not getting any more money. You should be pleased to be working in this business. You should be thankful. When I see people who get fired, get their asses kicked, they probably didn't even know. They didn't get that phone call or anything. Or maybe they got an email saying, you know, your presence is required at a meeting. Here's your package. Goodbye. The way they treat people. It's awful. I couldn't recommend that business to anybody. Jeff Merrick show middays during the NHL season. That's it. So Jeff's going to work during the NHL
and
season.
Point out that's a national show. We often talk about how like maybe Leaf fans don't want to tune in to hear about how the Jets are doing, but this is a national show.
Couldn't care less. Well, a national show, you're going to take a risk with that. But anyway, Jeff's very well known nationally. So there's your TV personality on the radio. And Jeff started in radio anyway.
Oh, he's very good. I'm a big American.
But remember, we mentioned last year, they took Jeff off the desk. We didn't see him for the last couple of months on Sportsnet's coverage. Hey, he was like, gone.
And now that Chris Johnston has left, has been booted.
He's on TSN now.
He's on TSN and Toronto
that was
Star.
Fast, eh?
I know. He was a free agent. I think Merrick will be seen more often, I think, on the television. Yes.
Yeah. You've got the Raptors show with William Liu and Alex Wong. Don't know anything about either one of them. Don't know. I hope it's a good show. I'll be listening. I'm a Raptors fan. You got Blair and Barker with their own show, but only during the baseball season. I think it's middays. So I guess Blair's going to do some of this and some of that. And during baseball season, he'll do this. And during the hockey season, he's going to be on with, who is he going to be on with, Blair? Where is Blair? Is that it? That's all he's going to do? Brunt and Ennis in the afternoon. Jay's talk with Barker and Blair. And then Barker and Blair are going to have their own show. That's weird. Huh. Anyway. When I started podcasting, 5 years ago, Mike? Yeah. I warned anyone who was listening that the broadcast business was changing at such a rapid rate that you're not going to know what's going to hit you. You're going to turn around one day and go, what the hell happened? And what is it with this business? That there would be more and more casualties. And not just old guys like me. I was approaching my 60th birthday. Right, thanks for coming out. And I knew at the age of almost 60, I wasn't going to be getting another job as a sports anchor. Not going to happen. Young. And you make too much money anyway, Hampshire. Get the fuck out of here. Luckily, I had enough money I could retire. Had some good investments. And I like this show here, but it's not a huge moneymaker, but that's okay. I like doing it. It's fun. I like giving you the straight goods instead of having to listen to a PR release that somebody's reading. And I was right. I was right. And I told everybody, you know, I didn't say I told you so, but I told everyone, I said, I warned you this was happening. It happened to me. It could happen to you. Is that a song by Yes? It could happen to you. Rogers, the way they handled this is beyond my comprehension. Why not wait until Friday? Blow everybody out on Friday if you've got to. Invite them all into a room. Give them their envelopes. Thanks for coming out. And then make your announcement. Starting Monday morning. And there you got. Beautiful. And while you're at it, the people that you're about to fire, at least give them the glory of having to be engaged in a Blue Jays pennant race for a couple more days before you pull the rug out from under them.
Can we talk about that timing? That's bizarre, right? Like this is
that's what I wanted to do.
But they have the rights, the exclusive rights to the Blue Jays because they're owned by the same company.
There was no Jays talk after last night's game. I wanted to hear people go, what the hell was Charlie doing? I wanted to hear the post-game show. There was no post-game show. There's no morning show. How do you do that? Who's stupid enough to go, nobody cares about the Jays Yankees. Let's just get our shit together so Monday we're all okay.
The timing is bizarre. Like, why is this change happening now? And I guess they're doing syndicated U.S. programming until they launch the new shows on Monday. But why
not
just
what they should be doing?
Do what
serving
the
sports fans of Toronto.
Okay, but
I am.
Why not call up Roger Lejoie and just say you're doing the... But he's a pay-as-you-go resource.
Roger's gone. I think Roger's... Where have you been?
What do you mean he's gone?
Roger's working for the Ottawa Senators now, I think.
But he gets called in for any... He's the pay-as-you-go utility knife, or what do you call it? Swiss Army knife. He would take the call.
I didn't see anything about Roger Lejoie in there.
Yeah, because he's a pay-as-you-go fill-in guy. He's never been... All right. You know. But I'm saying, he could do the morning show himself. That would be better than the syndicated U.S. program.
No, it wouldn't.
Well,
you're going to bring in, hey, Roger, we need you for a couple of days until the new guys come in. You to fill in.
Precisely.
No, that would be a worse disservice to the audience.
Well, the audience wants to focus on Jays and Leafs as usual.
Here's the thing, Mike. Everyone wants to talk about this, but they can't. They want to talk about the carnage that's gone on there, but they can't. Right, you can't bring a guy to go on the air and ignore completely what's going on around him.
Well, that's what we're
grenades
here for.
Going off. My God, no. It's just awful. What they did was horrible. If I was working for Rogers, I'd be shitting myself right now, hoping like hell that when I go to work and I use my key or key card, that it works. Now, I told you the story of a friend of mine who works for TSN Sports Radio. Every day goes to work and hopes like hell that when he places that key card up against it, that the green light comes on.
Horrible way to live.
Can you imagine feeling that way?
Horrible.
No. And here's a staggering number for those who are listeners of The Fan. The station averaged a little over 2,000 listeners between 5 a.m. and 1 a.m. in the males 25 to 54 age category. So think about that. Males 25 to 54, mm-hmm. all day long between 5 a.m. and 1 a.m. Their average
I don't believe
quarter hour listener is 2,000.
You get Hebsy on Sports numbers and I get Toronto Mike numbers and I cannot believe that number you're quoting me. I cannot believe that.
Isn't it terrible?
Well, so if you saw our numbers,
an example,
yeah,
folks,
go ahead.
We don't reveal numbers too much, but just to give you an example, both Mike and I have considerably more listeners on average. And even though we're a podcaster, you know, Mike does three or four a week now, but I mean, you're talking about over the course of a week. Usually it's weekly numbers. Both of our weekly numbers are considerably more than what the fan averages over the course of 20 hours on a day of programming a day. How about that?
That's a surprisingly, shockingly low number
isn't it?
That you quoted us. Yeah. Wow.
And if you took all persons two ages two plus, I don't know how many three-year-olds are listening to the fan, you're looking at around 7,000 listeners per quarter hour average.
How can you afford to pay like I'm assuming Stephen Brunt makes a good solid adult wage. That guy's very talented, been around a long time. Like, how can you afford to pay? Is that why MacArthur and Deitch, they were making real money?
Yeah, they were making really money. The thing is that they haven't figured out how to monetize those shows outside of radio. Podcasting is the way to go. It's not that difficult, as you know, Mike, to take the first hour of the morning show, turn it around quickly, make it the podcast. And if I'm listening and it happens to be 9 in the morning, I can flip on the first hour of the fan's morning show.
But they do that, right? I'm assuming they do that. Like I
do
can't,
they?
I
do
think
they advertise
they take the,
it? Are they
take the
running
show.
Spots on there? If you're buying the radio time, do you also get your spots on the podcast or do they take those out?
I don't know.
Again, if you can monetize a podcast and I can monetize a podcast and we're not professional, salespeople when it comes to radio time or whatever, how can these yutzes not do that? How can they not go, we only have 2,000 people listening, but on the podcast over the course of a week, we get 15,000 or whatever it is. Let's monetize that. Can we not go to our advertisers and say, hey, we're going to insert your commercials here, or we're going to have live reads done by the hosts on the quote unquote radio show that we can quickly turn around and earn some money on the podcast as well.
Like I'm sure this reshuffle or whatever we call this revamped lineup is 100% to do what you're describing there. Because essentially, if you look at it and you look kind of step back and look at it, as confusing as that press release was to see who's on when, where, it was really confusing. Other than the morning show, I found it very confusing. But I will say it's a bunch of podcasts that they're airing on the radio. Like they're recording these podcasts live on the radio. And then so it's sort of like what you're describing.
Yeah. The other thing too is, and the way I understand it, Jason Rosen, is that one of the guys? But there were a number of really talented people behind the scenes that you might have heard of on shows that have worked there for a long time that were let go. Like really, really talented people. And by reading the comments of their colleagues that are still working within the Rogers building there or whatever, it's really sad. But you can sort of see a tinge of fear in the texts or the tweets that you're reading from these people, the fear of it could happen to me or it has happened to me before. One in particular I saw from Nikki Reyes, who used to work at Sportsnet, lost her job there a few years ago, caught on with TSN and is now working there and is anchoring. And she sent out a really nice tweet saying, I'm praying for you. I know the pain you're feeling. You'll get back on your feet. But in it, you're kind of reading, man, this is the business we chose. This is the profession we chose. It really sucks.
You know, I know you're going to think this is a kind of cross promotion, but it does speak to what Greg Brady was talking. Now, Greg Brady was speaking to a specific individual who was a program director at the Fan 590 and is no longer the program director.
Well, I heard this story, yeah.
And the story he tells about the crying and the toxicity and the mental and physical anguish he was suffering at the hands of this individual, it sort of ties into what you're saying about, not enjoying where you work. And I just want to name some of these other people in addition to Scott MacArthur and Richard Deitch, who are no longer on the fan. I just want to say, and I said this name
Please
before,
do.
Rob Wong finally got his name right.
Rob did the Blue Jays, did Jays Talk. Rob did updates for many, many years.
Josh Goldberg.
Yeah, also did Jay's talk. Yep.
And Andrew Nye.
Mm-hmm. Did updates for years on 680 News and on The Fan.
And you mentioned his name a moment ago, but Jason Rosen.
Yeah. Alex Cicero.
But Alex is moving to 680, so it's sort of like crossing the hallway.
Oh, but you still think that, I mean, look, I heard him on The Fan for years. I don't listen to 680 News for...
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying it's different than
anyway,
the Pink
Slip. No more news updates. That idea, you know, people obviously said, well, what do we need to have this for when people can get their updates on their phone? You know, so I'm not surprised by that. But a lot of times I would tune in and I didn't know everything that was going on. And it's nice to hear, you know, in a couple of minutes, a little roundup of what's going on.
It used to be every 20 minutes when we were younger, the 2020 sports updates.
That's it.
I know we're going to talk Leafs action before we say goodbye, but I did get a nice email from a gentleman named Greg Gold, who is a huge Hebsy on Sports fans. And I promised him I'd ask you this quick question that's tied to radio. He just wants me to ask you, why does TSN television have exclusive CFL football when he never hears a stitch of CFL talk on Overdrive? That's the question for you from Greg Gold.
Well, the CFL is a niche league. You have to be a fan of the entire league, I think. There are people that love the Argos and don't care about other teams, love the Ticats. But I'm, for the most part, I think it's like if you're a CFL fan, you got to be a fan of the league. And the guys on Overdrive are not fans of the league. The other thing is TSN also runs considerable NFL coverage. That's where their football expertise is. Nobody talks about betting on CFL games. Everybody talks about betting on NFL games. And if you add the Bodogs of the world, and look, let's face it. You're not like a Bodog and like, come on, baby, let's go. CFL, who do you like between the Stamps and the Bombers? Mm-hmm. +9.5, 47.5 over under. Woo, let's go. Who's going to be the first guy to fumble? No, it doesn't exist in the CFL. Certainly not through anyone I know who's a sports fan. Maybe out west where they got nothing else to do except for watch the fucking wheat grow.
Hey.
I don't care. And I've told you this. It's got nothing to do, folks. It's got nothing to do. I love Canada. I want to visit
people too.
And I visited many places in Canada. But I don't care about the Canadian Football League. I live in Toronto, okay? I got the Raptors. I got the Jays. I got the Leafs. I got TFC. I got lots. You guys are out in Yehopetsville. You got the Edmonton Elks, Calgary Stampeders, your hockey teams, and that's it.
Say that word again. Yehopetsville?
Yehopetsville.
Okay, so Mark Weisblatt, who's a big fan of your show, heard you say that term, and yeah. He actually took it to he was doing a Canadian Jewish news podcast with my friend Ralph Ben-Murgi, and he took that term for that podcast name because he heard you say it.
Yeah. In actual fact, the way I use it is wrong. Yehopetsville really was an expression used by people who lived in villages far from the big city, right?
Sure.
And Yehopetsville was like the big city.
Oh.
Right? That type of a thing.
So it's the opposite. It's
been misinterpreted and sort of interpreted, but essentially it's from far away.
Okay.
You know, you came from Yehopetsville. You're going to, it's a good one.
I like it. I'm going to start using it.
I got to mention Grossman's Golf and Country Club. Oh, I'm going there twice this week, man, playing a couple times. Second time I'm going to be playing with, like I said, two celebrities I know for sure, perhaps a third. I'll give you an update next time I talk with you. But we're there because fall golf is beautiful, and that golf course is just, it's always in immaculate shape. It's so much fun to play. It's challenging. It's beautiful. You know, you'll step one day and you'll look up and say, wow, look at that. That's Rattlesnake Point. That's Mount Nemo. That's the Niagara Escarpment. It's beautiful. It's majestic. It's Crosswinds Golf. So fall golf's beautiful. Check it out. Go to crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time online. Tell them Hebsy sent you, and you might run into me. And, you know, if you're playing next week, you might just say, whoa, who's that? Is that who I thought it was checking in at the pro shop? Is that who I thought it was?
Wow.
Hitting that tee shot on number one there that I...
You're golfing with Don Cherry.
No, it couldn't be. Well, it could be because Hebsy's there and he knows famous, important people. Crosswindsgolf.com. Never know who you're going to see there.
Wow.
Okay, so the Maple Leafs have extended the contract of coach Sheldon Keefe through the 2024 season. It's putting a lot of faith in your coach and his assistants and the core group of players, which includes some very well-paid superstars, underachievers, and some very big question marks as we enter the season. First game of the season is the 13th of October. Up until then, it's preseason bullshit, you know, fourth line nonsense. Who's going to anchor the fourth line? And, you know, here's who the defense pairings were in practice today. Stuff like that. Just, I'm not into it yet. Mm-hmm. Remember, folks, no Canadian division this year. So no cakewalk for the Leafs. Back to the grind of having to beat Tampa and Boston and Montreal. And by the way, there's a documentary that starts today on Amazon Prime. It's called All for One. You know, the Leafs season last year, cameras hidden with some great footage, they tell me. But please, folks, for those of you, especially those who've gotten advanced copies, stop sending out your spoilers on social media. Please. I'll watch it when I want to watch it. I don't need for you to tell me that in season one, there's a scene with Sheldon Keefe that was blah, blah, blah. And like you're quoting what he said. Don't.
I thought you were going to be like, don't tell me who wins game seven, Leafs versus Habs. You don't want it. You got it on like your PVR and you're going to check it out at some point.
Game seven, yeah. What did happen? I forget. You know, I know people, it's like the same people when you're sitting in a movie theater, if you're ever going to a movie theater again, that there's like giving stuff away. Shut up.
Yeah. That's no good.
Like spoilers. It's called spoilers. Don't spoil it. Don't even suggest. Don't even like type this saying, with spoiler alert, right?
Right.
Spoiler alert. Like, don't read this. Spoiler alert if you're a fan of The Sopranos or whatever. Fuck.
I hate spoilers.
It's a documentary. It's a documentary. Let people watch the documentary. And then after they've watched the documentary, because it's now available to everyone, but don't, because you got an advanced copy, go, right. Ooh, I saw an advanced copy of All for One. Oh, there's this one scene with, shut up.
I don't even like Planet of the Apes spoilers, and it's been how many decades now?
All right. I'm going to be watching it, by the way. Naturally, I'm fascinated. Apparently, a lot of stuff was cut out. Apparently, some stuff that was said by certain players, they went to the producers and said, no, you can't put that in. Or their agents, you can't put that in about Nylander. Can't do that.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to see how much, although we'll never know how much editing there was. I am interested in that part of it from people in the know. They said, oh, no, we had to, that ended up on the cutting room floor. It was kiboshed by Shanahan or something like that.
Right.
Because let's face it, the Leafs had a lot of say in what went in there. Don't kid yourself. They had to run it through Shanahan and the boys before they aired this thing. This is a co-production with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right. It's a propaganda piece.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Don't forget that. Big time. Bryson DeChambeau is on to the final round of the Professional Long Drivers Association World Championship after finishing tied for fourth in the third round of the tournament Thursday in Mesquite, Nevada. The event began Tuesday when the field was narrowed down to 64, went down to 32 on Wednesday. Top 16 will compete tonight. Now, I've hosted these events before, Mike. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how far these guys can hit a freaking golf ball. But hitting it straight is the key, because you could, I mean, Tyson could probably outdrive these guys, but it's got to be in this fairway that they have, right?
Right.
And I'll tell you a story one time, many years ago when I was hosting this down at in Niagara, as a matter of fact, Jason Zubak of Calgary was the world long drive champion. This guy could hit a ball a mile. And all he had to do in this qualifier is he had to hit it like 360 in the fairway, which he could do in his sleep. He had to hit it like 360. But he didn't want to hit it just 360. He wanted to hit it 400. So he had five drives. And on the first four, he hit it 400 yards, but he missed the fairway. And so it was like, okay, Jason, I just poke one out there 360. You know, 9-iron. I'm kidding. But like 3-wood, something. But just put it in the fairway and you're in. Oh, no. Pulls out the driver again. You know, go big or go home. God forbid he should only hit it 360 and qualify. And he bombs one about 440. But he misses the fairway. Oh. And he's disqualified.
Oh.
Not disqualified. He's out.
Right.
He doesn't qualify. And so all these people that came to see Jason Zubak are like, oh, fuck this. And they left. Now we're recording this to be shown later. I think it was on TSN. And now we got to scramble. How do we do this? And the producer's thinking, how am I going to edit this? That people are going to watch it.
Right.
Up to what point? And then when he gets eliminated now, what do? We got to find another personality to focus on because Jason Zubak is out. Anyway, hopefully if the time comes for Bryson, and he's on his final drive, and he's got to put it in the fairway at 385 or whatever, as opposed to bombing it, I wonder what he'll do. Because the male ego usually takes over, and it's like, oh, no, 385 is for pussies. Let's go for 415. That's that. NFL this weekend, the Buffalo Bills, minus 17 at home to Houston. Got to give 17 points. That's crazy. Best new show on television, by the way, Mike. Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli Manning. It's the best.
Well, I watched it.
So on half, on three quarters of the screen on the right is the game.
Right.
No audio.
Right.
And on the left of your screen, down a couple of bars, is a couple of boxes like a Zoom call. And there's Peyton Manning. And there's Eli Manning. Oh, there's LeBron James, who's the guest right. for a few minutes.
Right.
Oh, there's Lou Saban. What am I saying? Nick Saban, coach of Alabama. So Peyton and Eli are watching the game from different locations, kibitzing around, telling you what the play is going to be before it is. Really interesting. And they've got special guests coming on as well. As the other day, LeBron comes on and reveals that during the NBA strike or lockout, whatever it was, Jerry Jones approached LeBron James and offered him a deal to play for the Dallas Cowboys. And Pete Carroll of the Seattle Seahawks also offered LeBron a contract. Come play football.
I bet you he'd
so
be great.
That was, you didn't get that stuff on the broadcast. But Peyton and Eli Manning brought LeBron on their show. And he revealed that. That was pretty cool.
Awesome. I'd love to see you watching Jays games. We should get an alliance there, and you're in the sidebar and commenting on the Jays game that we're all watching.
You know what? In last night's game, and the guys who sat in front of me can attest to this, I called the stolen bases. Uh-huh. I knew when the runner was going.
Right.
We, you know, when it was a 2-1 count, a 1-1 count, I watched Kluber especially screw up the Jays and the other relievers, screw up their timing by throwing back. I said, you watch, he's going to throw back to first. And he did. And the crowd's booing. And then he lobs one back to first base. And Vladdy steps out of the box. And you can see he's frustrated. He wants to swing the bat, right? And the timing is all off. And I said, yeah, I predicted that. I can manage that team. I was thinking the same way as Montoya.
You'll be the manager.
Got to manufacture a run. Send Dickerson. Stuff like that. And so I think that it would be probably pretty good if we had the Jays games on, not the Leafs games. That would be a whole other story. And it's too fast. Baseball is a slow enough game that between pitches, you can make predictions. You can bet what's going to happen here. I tell you what, when you're at the game, you really notice the defenses.
Right.
I know on TV, they go, okay, they're playing, shading them this way, that way. And they show a wide shot. When you're at the game, you really can tell sometimes in the shift, how weird it looks and how huge the gaps are in certain places. It's quite something. Okay, I'm done. I'm out. Let's go. Episode 252 of Hebsy on Sports is in the books. Hope you enjoyed it as the legitimate alternative to sports radio in your market. Thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. Hit him up at Toronto Mike. His podcast is outstanding and essential listening to. Great guests. And I got to catch up on mine. I got to catch up. He's coming up on episode 1,000. Amazing. 252 for me. What do you, Hebsy? You're nobody. So what if you did a couple thousand versions of Sportsline? That was television. It's not the same. Thanks to our sponsor, Crosswinds Golf and Country Club. Go to crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time online. And I might see you out there this week with my celebrity friends.
Woo!
But don't come too close, okay? You'll scare them off. They're like wounded deer. Crosswindsgolf.com. Thanks for allowing us into your headspace. We're back with another exciting episode of Hebsy on Sports next week. Until then, so long for now. This podcast has been produced by TMDS and accelerated by Rome Phone. Rome Phone brings you the most reliable virtual phone service to run your business and protect your home number from unwanted calls. Visit romephone.ca to get started.